We're starting Kufi Beis Halachi Ralf. The Mechaber says, Pasha Yisrael, Shafal Evi Kuchavim. If we have Pas Yisrael that a goy baked, Beloy Chitud Yisrael, or Beloy Kisim. Okay, so we have food which is Bishal, which is Pas Akum. Okay, it's not Pas Palter, just plain a plain old goy built in, and
what's
so the food is
Pas Palter
and Pas Akum. It's something we discussed earlier. And I'd rather not do it right now. I'll be happy to tell you afterwards, okay? So we have pas. It's, the food is not kosher. Okay, everyone agrees that this is not kosher. Asur, so the food is asur. The asur is vun lev kichavim, and you're now to sell to a guy. And the achronim explain, you're now to sell to a guy who's a palter. Dom asur is vun Yisrael. Maybe he'll sell to a Jew. So since you're going to sell to the guy will then take it and might resell to a Jew. This is treif bread. People buy bread assuming that it's kosher, because it was, in those days it was just made of flour and water, what was there to it? So they would buy it without any hashkafa, without any, you know, just
so
buy it
from a baker, from a professional.
So it's talking
baker.
About that you're selling it to a palter, and the yid might buy it from that palter.
Right. Well, Johnny, the guy who
Correct.
Okay. His own
piece is halecha mushtaim. If you break the bread in half, or into more pieces, then you could sell to the guy, because the yid would never buy the bread broken up like that. Okay, he wouldn't buy a, he'd buy a whole loaf. So he wouldn't buy it like that. So then you don't have to worry. If you sell it in a way that that no one will ever consider buying it, then that's okay. You just can't sell it to him in a way that he might resell it to someone else who will think that it's kosher.
A Jew won't buy it, or he won't sell it?
No, a Jew won't buy it. That's how it says.
Without
okay. The same would be true if you were also. If it would
now,
be like
a guy would buy such a bread, but Jews wouldn't ever touch such a bread.
Croutons would be included, they're going to little pieces
that
are there to sell.
People, no, the chance of a Jew won't buy it.
No, croutons they might buy. Okay, I got it.
They're not going to buy it because since it's broken, that's the simon to know that's...
No, I don't know.
Jews just don't buy broken bread.
Unappetizing.
No.
Jewish women don't buy that bread.
They're suspicious of the kashrus of it. Once it's broken up, they're suspicious of the kashrus
really?
Of it.
Why broken bread more? I
don't remember why.
Because of the knife.
Okay. The Rama says, and the Rama says, any other bread that's treif, the same thing, that's also ulchei nagu, and therefore there's a minute shloilikmas chatichas pasmer of kechavim. Therefore we don't buy slices of bread from a guy. The chashirin shem he passed Israel machlo Yisrael kach. Maybe he told him sliced up, and therefore so it's the same kind of thing. Okay.
So you see, that's and people will buy, but the minute is not to buy.
So that's a question in Nachmanim. Which one came first? Okay, whether the first that came, the, you know, first you know, no one would buy it, and therefore that was the idea. Okay. However, it's not
relevant. Is this case the general case we're talking about? Is it going to bake the bread?
Yes.
And there was no Jew involved.
Right.
That's
correct. So the bread is pasakum.
Okay. Now, how did the Jew get a hold of the bread that he's
making? So that's what the Mechaber said. It was the Jew's own bread. And the guy baked it. It was his own bread.
A mistake.
The person
was like in a restaurant. By mistake, you have a loaf of bread or you have food, and instead of the mashgiach turning it on, the guy went ahead
jumped ahead and
turned it on and cooked it. That's a problem.
That's I think why the Mechaber says. I know that when talk about it, but that's I think why the Mechaber says partially wrong. It was his own bread. By mistake, the guy came and baked it. And so, you're stuck with it. Right? You're stuck with this. Right? It doesn't mean partially wrong. It's bread. I'm skipping a lot of things that go on in that child. Okay, now. The Pesach Tshuva asks on this question, he said, where does this din come from? Okay, so this din comes from, Gemara and Pesachim, okay, it's at this time of the year, which is, that says that if you have wheat, a boat full of wheat, and it sank, okay, so it got full, it's soaked with water, and it's possibly chametz. So the din is, you're now allowed to sell that wheat to a guy, because that guy might then resell to a Jewish person, he'll just buy, you know, kernels of wheat are assumed to be not chametz. In those days, they're considered to be not chametz. The yid might buy it and make matzah out of it. So therefore, you're now allowed to sell it to him because he might resell it. So just like the Gemara says, now to that. For that, so too here, we have a different trade food, the same thing.
Well, other case like that also. Beggar shashatnas.
Very, the Gemara says that also. Good. So the kash of the Pesach Tshuva is that those cases like shatnas or cases of wheat are cases where it's an issur d'oraisa. The food that you're selling is usher midraisa. It's chametz or it's klayim or it's other cases like that. That it might be usher midraisa. He said, how do you know that you have to be choshish for that by a case like ours, where it's only issur d'rabbanan? And the difference would be, it's only a possibility that a Jew will buy it. So something that he might be over on the d'raisa, or usher, but something that he might be over on the d'rabbanan, maybe it shouldn't be so serious. You know, it's not for sure that he's going to eat it. So he asked Akash, and so the Pesach Tshuva says he thinks it's a better right. There's another Gemara that says the same case about the great kernels of grain that got soaked in wine. That was Stam Yain, which is Asim Rabbanan. So he thinks there would have been a better ride from that case, because in that case, the Gemara is saying, by this it's Rabbanan. It's only Stam Yain, and still you're now in a cell, so you see, you have to be hush even to that far. Okay. Now. What? Okay, now.
Yeah, the wine might be even more chamer because that might come also from the. Well, it's also it's chasness, but it's also.
Okay, so our din is talking about this iser to sell something in a way that might lead someone to be over an iser somewhere down the road. Okay, and I'm gonna basically digress from passage to talk about that concept. About such a thing as Isser, to sell food to someone that might potentially lead to an Isser down the road, which is negated very much to what we do. And I'm going to use examples from that are here to us, rather than this passage, which is not such
it's
a...
It's like the vendors of baseball games.
That what?
Selling hot dogs. Selling hot dogs, not going to make a bracha, things like that.
Okay, it's related a little bit to that, but bracha is like for individuals, but yes, that's...
Who's not going to make a bracha?
He's saying... If
you sell food at a sporting event, so if someone's Jewish, they're not going to make a bracha.
He's saying that
the buyer is not going to make a bracha.
But he's mentioned, we're going to get to that kind of at the very end. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to give food to a person who won't make a bracha.
You're not allowed to... What about selling, even?
So the selling, I'm going to skip the scale. I'm not doing the selling case. I'm talking about we will get to the case about the bracha. I wasn't... Okay, we're going to get to it.
I mean, everybody make a bracha.
Okay, so the iser... Yeah, that's correct.
I can tell what he said.
The iser that we're talking about is broadly called lifnei iver. Okay, lifnei iver is an iser deraisa, which is, the Gemara says, you now to do lifnei iver to cause someone to possibly do something that they didn't really want to do. Okay, for example, like doing an avera. Okay, and it applies to Jews and to non-Jews as well, to be over the issue of lifnei iver, to make them, if you lead them to make a bad decision, okay, the Gemara's example of lifnei iver, one is by giving wine to a nazir, that's a Jew, and one is giving eiver menachai to a guy. Okay, that's one of the Gemara's cases. Okay, the Ron says, so it's even by a guy, it's the same thing applies. That's the issue of the Raisa. And we'll get to an issue of Rabbanan in a little while. And what I want to focus on is that there are two big exceptions to the issue of the Raisa. Okay, there are two big exceptions to why you would not be over the issue of the Raisa.
Abram Menachai. I don't remember. Is it when the animal's still alive that taking a bite of the meat, or even after the animal dies, as long as you took it off while it was alive?
I don't know.
Oh, because I thought I didn't understand.
Don't know. But the Gemara just mentioned it as a case. Whatever the thing is that you're not allowed to do.
Okay.
So the Gemara's like this. The Gemara says you're not allowed to give a cup of wine to a nazir. Okay, he's not allowed to drink wine. You're not allowed to give it to him. And the Gemara says that iser, the iser deraisa, only applies in a case where the Gemara's words are if it's trei iver denahara. It's on two sides of a river, which means like it's an over-dramatization of the fact that if not for you, the nazir couldn't get the wine. He's on the other side of the river. If you didn't pass it across to him, he couldn't get it. That's when there's an iser deraisa. But if the nazir is on the same side of the river, so to speak, as you, meaning he could just pick up the cup by himself, then you're not over any issur d'oraisa by handing him that cup of wine.
How far does that go?
What do you mean, how far does that go?
Like,
if you have a hot dog on the table.
Let's say, okay, you could, let's say that you're, if, right, so, let's say, like,
let's go to the next town. You
want to go to the next town? Yeah, I mean, how far is it, let's say it's for 3 miles away. So you bring it to him, but theoretically he'll go himself, or someone else could brought to him. So like,
okay, so I'm not
meaty,
sure.
How
okay,
meaty does
okay,
that have
the,
to be?
So the question of if he could get it someplace far away,
in how meaty
proximity.
Is how much of a tircha does he have to go through to get it? That's not necessarily.
That's a good. It's a good question. I don't know the answer. It's a good question.
But
what I good
question.
What I it's a good question. Okay,
I like it.
So shall I take this? What happens if the I don't have such a as big of a case as you, but what happens if the nazir is on the same side of the river?
Right.
He's on the other side of the river, but there's three people standing on this side of the river who could all pass it. So should we say that he could get it without me because Chaim could give it to him, and he could get it without, and Chaim could say he can get it without me because David could give it to him. So would you say that if the nazir is on the other side of the river, but I'm not the only one who could give it to him, so should we say that it's considered that there's another way for him to get it? Because
another venue for him to get it.
Okay, so the Mishnah Melech says, this is what David is being right, says. He just doesn't want to tell us so he knows it. The Mishnah Melech says, it depends. If all the people are Jews, so then all of them are like sort of in the same boat. Jews can't give a nazir wine because they're going to make do an iser. So he basically has no way to get it without one of us being over on the favor, so it's considered there's no way to get it, and if anyone gives it, it's the favor. But if one of the people is a guy, so that person has no qualms about giving him the wine, so then he really has a way to get it. What basically, he can, instead of reaching it for himself, his friend will give it to him without being Arvinius. Okay, so it depends if he has it available from a yid. The only ways to get it is from a yid. That's considered There's no way to get it, and it is a favor. And if there's no way, if there's a guy who could give it to him, then it's okay. So what's an example of that? If you have a supermarket wants to sell broccoli, okay, and selling it to people who are people who might not be, aren't aware enough that they have to check the broccoli before they eat it.
Talk about caring.
Okay, so they aren't aware enough that they have to sell it. So if there's another supermarket down the block, if Dominic's sells broccoli also, that a guy is selling it, then the yid is not erev on lifnei iver if he sells him the broccoli, because it's available down the block by the guy.
Okay,
but we're not finished yet. Okay, it's available down the block. It's available down the block from the guy. But if the only people in town who sell broccoli are yidden, or who would sell broccoli are yidden, then it is lifnei iver, because the fact that it's available by the other Jewish merchant is the same issur, the same kind of issur you wouldn't be allowed to do. Okay.
Would it change anything if the guy on the other side of the river had a rowboat?
Just that means he's available.
Okay.
Means he can get it. Okay, now another example is, what happens if someone is selling, don't say the name this time, if someone is selling Oitzer Bezdin wine from Shemitah. Mm-hmm. He's selling Shemitah wine to people who don't know anything about what you're supposed to do with Shemitah wine. Okay? So he says, well, the food is kosher and you could buy it. But the people who are buying that wine have no way to get it except from Jews. Who else sells Oitzer Bezdin Shemitah wine except for Jewish people? So in that case, the only people selling that stuff are Jews. So if you sell it to a person who's not going to use it properly, who hasn't a clue what to do with it,
right.
So that's with the evil to give it to the guy and say to him, I'm giving you this stuff that you should eat it. Now, so to speak, in theory, it's really kosher food. It really is. But you're causing that person to end up doing an issur because he hasn't a clue what to do with it's the best of one.
What's the difference? It's
that's
by regular wine.
What?
What's the difference? You can buy
the regular one.
He can buy the regular
one. Wine.
There's no way for him to be over this issur if not that you gave it to him.
Which issur?
Of not treating the wine with Kedusha Shmita.
By regular wine.
And what?
And do the same thing.
That's also a Jewish person. And there's all the people who could possibly sell him Shemitah wine are all Jewish people. So then,
well, that's not machlekes. If all the Arab stuff is there, it could be the wife and the Arab.
He could buy it from Africa. If I get it correct. I mean, all the people who are selling the kosher wine, they're not Arab selling kosher wine. What would you say about this case?
Yeah.
What would you say if a yid is selling livers that are not kosher? Okay, to people, lots of people, I know one of them, okay, who would buy it and don't realize that the livers are stuck inside the chicken, or who buy the livers and say, oh, I bought it in the kosher store so I can eat the livers. They don't realize that they have to kosher them. Okay, so the person selling that stuff, who's selling the livers,
someone asked him that shayla.
And he said,
he couldn't eat
kosher liver.
Right.
Okay.
So he chose, he wasn't so firm apparently.
Don't eat liver.
No, you buy from a meat, whatever. Either you buy from a trefer store, buy from a kosher store, and then they sell to him without kosher.
Okay.
Right. And I think you're not going to say he could sell to him because.
Okay. I'm not talking about a special case where the guy has a special.
No, Friday night, you're not going to sell to him, he's going to buy a trefer.
Uh-huh. Okay, so.
Right.
Okay, so maybe that didn't weigh in that.
Tim to Malay.
That's better. But I'm talking is that the store is selling it just out in the store to kosher people just every day. There's some livers that are not kosher. To some of those people who are going to buy the livers are not aware that this liver, that you have to do something special to the liver. Okay, in their mind.
You have to be aware of other people's ignorance.
So what Lifnei Iver means is that I'm doing something that you're not aware of what you're going to possibly be.
The note says, pass me the wine that's next to you.
Yes.
And you pass it to him. And he knows what he's getting. He's still over on Leap Neighbor. You shouldn't be part of what he's doing.
Leap Neighbor doesn't mean he doesn't know. It's a chemizer about it.
Dad?
Yeah. This it's not real Leap Neighbor. The guy's fully aware he's over an issue. It's conscious, knows there's
a Yale lot better.
That's called Leap Neighbor anyway.
Yes, but I'm talking, it for sure applies in the other case when the guy doesn't know what he's doing, that's for sure the thing. You're saying it's even if the guy knows.
Yes.
He's selling the liver to the guy. So my point for the liver is like this. It's true that the guy can buy treif livers in Dominic's if he wants to.
Correct.
Right? He doesn't need me to be over on the issur. Okay? But my point is like this. The person cares enough about kosher that he would never go to Dominic's and buy livers there. Right? There's plenty of people who keep kosher who would never buy livers and dominics. So in his mind, livers and dominics are not like on the table. Those are not even in the range of what might be available for kosher. And the only thing that he would buy is kosher livers. Well, so if the only Jews are, or the only people selling kosher livers are Jewish people,
right,
then if those people sell him a liver that's not kosher, then I'm giving him the only opportunity that he has to eat blood out of a liver. So then it's lift the ever.
Okay.
The lift the ever is just, unless I have a way of communicating to him, that this liver can only, you have to process, blah, blah. I explained to him that it's not really kosher. It's like sort of halfway, fine, then I've done my job. But if I just sell to him without giving over that message clear enough, then it's lift the ever. Because even though there are treif livers available, my point here is, even though there are goyim selling treif livers, but for lots of people, they've cut off that market. It doesn't occur to these people to walk into Dominic's and buy a liver. It's not like it's not like the broccoli. Broccoli, they might walk into Dominic's and buy. But livers, they wouldn't buy. Okay.
The liver. I'm not sure I understand the halachas of it, but that's
okay.
When you broil liver, you salt it and you broil it. My understanding is you can't cook it. In water. You can't cook in soup or water or whatever.
That's questionable.
That's a questionable.
The child here is that they sell you a liver.
What I'm asking is if that's the case, then
that's the same case.
That's a similar question. Similar question.
Of course you can cook it.
Okay.
If you got
I thought it was 3 days.
It was not 3 days.
Whatever.
It was within 3 days.
Good point.
Okay. Now, the other exception to lift the ether. The other exception besides for when we say the dinner of that if it's on chad ever dinar,
right?
Besides that exception, is another thing which the Gemara calls lifnei de lifnei, which means it's like this. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to sell certain spices. I think it was a zillion examples. Certain spices to goyim, because they might use it for avodah zarah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're being machshelim and lift the ether. But the Gemara says, in certain cases where you know the person buying it will not use it for avodah zarah, then you are allowed to sell it, even though he might resell it to another guy who will use it for avodah zarah.
And then sell it to a Jew?
No, not to a Jew. You sell it to one guy.
Okay.
If he might use it for avodah zarah, it's lift the ether.
Right.
If he won't use it for avodah zarah, for whatever reason, there's still a chance that he might sell it to the next guy who will use it for avodah zarah. The Gemara says that's not lifnei ever, because the Gemara says lifnei ever is aser, but lifnei de lifnei is not aser. Okay, lifnei ever, I'm selling it to you, and you might sell it to the next, I'm selling it to a guy, and the guy might sell it to another guy, that's not lifnei ever. Okay, so we had two big exceptions to the din deraisa of lifnei ever. Okay, but as you all well know, even though the din deraisa, not so easy to be over on the din deraisa. Because of these exceptions, it's pretty... In most cases, you're not over on the deraisa. But most people hold, and it's assumed that that's the din, that most people hold that there is an issa d'rabbana, that an issa d'rabbana, which we call meseyel de over ever, which means is, I'm supposed to look out for your best interest and keep you from doing an avera if I can help you, if I can prevent you from doing an avera, kol shekein, I shouldn't be helping you to do an avera. Okay, so most people, it's assumed that we paskin, that there is an isser of Meseo de Ever, it's a machlokes, we assume we paskin like that, and that there's an isser to help somebody, even though you're technically not over on lift the Ever. If we're all sitting here, and he could have taken isser by himself to help him, it's still inappropriate to help
him. That would be a drabon.
That's isser drabon. Now, one of the riyas that this did a Messiah comes right from our case that we're talking about. Okay, the Rosh is kash like this. He says, we said there's a kula called lifnei de lifnei. There's no lifnei ever when you give something to one person who might give it to somebody else. See, he says, you have a boat full of wheat that sank and got wet, and it became possibly chametz. So the Gemara says, don't sell it to a guy, because you might sell it to a yid. So he says, well, if you sell it to the guy's not going to have a problem eating chametz on Pesach. So the problem is, I think Gemara says, he might sell it to a yid afterwards. So he says, why isn't that lifnei de lifnei? You're selling it to the guy, and the guy might sell it to a yid. So that's not lifnei ever. The person who you're doing is not going to lead him to be over nisser. You're giving it to him, and he might sell it to somebody else. He says, what's the difference in the Gemara's case that says you could sell the spices to the guy, even though he might sell it to another guy who will use it for avodah zarah? He says, what's the problem? What's the difference? So the Rosh says, the Rosh says, you see from here that we only lifnei ever doesn't apply in the case of the lifnei, when the end user is a guy. The end user is, you sold avodah zarah spices to a guy, whom I sold to another guy, so I don't have to worry about his possibility. There's no misayel the ever for a guy. If there's no lifteiver, you're allowed to do it. But in the case of the chametz, I sold the kernels of wheat to a yid, to a guy. That guy might sell it to a yid. I have to be concerned that the end user is going to end up, the end user who's Jewish might end up using this wheat for a Pesach. So therefore, this not lifteiver, this misayel the ever. Okay, so that din drabbana misayel the ever. One of the riots is right from our case. Okay, that there's such a thing. The Gemara doesn't say
that.
No, because there's 100 other cases. Okay, I didn't mention. There's a whole bunch of other cases of the same kind of a din. The Gemara of lifting. So he says that, and the Rosh happens to be talking about the din of lifting the lifting. Most people actually say it the other way. Most people, it's much more common to see this brought for the other din. There's a din that on chad ever denaro. If you're on the same side of the river, there's no issue of lifting either. And everyone said, we paskin that even so there's an issue of misayel avera. You can't help the person do the avera, even though he could do it by himself.
So you can't pass on the line though it's in front of him.
That's correct. Now, the Rosh says, so the Rosh I just said to you, makes the point that this din of misayel avera doesn't apply to a guy. Right, that's the point. I have to worry about lifnei iver, but I don't have to worry about this misayel, which is sort of like a higher level, I have to be, you know, overly concerned about you, that doesn't apply to a guy. So the Shach says, Imkain, not only does it apply to a guy, it applies, I'm saying it the way the Dogelmer of explains it over there, it applies to any person who I think doesn't care about doing the mitzvah. If I have a person who's a mumer, I have a person who's going to do it even if I would tell him, you know that food is trade for you, okay, he's going to eat it anyhow. If I have a person like that, the din of misayel de ervever doesn't apply. The din of lifnei iver applies, meaning if he has no other way to get it except for me, I can't give it to him. But if he could get it himself, or he has another option to get it, but he is going to eat it no matter what. He wouldn't care. If I would tell him, don't eat it, he won't care. That, the whole din of misayel de ervever doesn't apply. Okay, just like the rush that by a guy doesn't apply, by these kind of people who won't listen to me anyhow, I don't have to be worried about this din either. I'd be allowed to sell to them. That's what the Shach says. The Magen Avraham argues. The Magen Avraham in the Magen Avraham says that does not agree with that. The Magen Avraham says you're not allowed to do that. Okay? We'll see more on this in a second. Okay?
But that's how the Shach passes.
The Shach says that if you're giving it to a person who will anyhow not care whether you, even if you tell him it was us, he wouldn't care. And it's not the favor, it's just Messiah. Messiah doesn't apply to that kind of person. Okay. So now, so back to some of our cases. We had the case, we mentioned broccoli. Okay, you're selling broccoli to a person who is not aware enough of what he has to do to check it and make sure that there are no bugs in it. And he'll just assume it looks clean and he'll just eat it. Okay, so there might not be lifnei iver because he could go to Dominic's and buy the same broccoli, but misayeh there would be because I am helping him do this avera, and he's a person who potentially, if I would have said to him, you know, if I would sit down with him and say to him, you know, that there are bugs in broccoli, I'll spend a few minutes showing you where they are and how to check and this, that he would be, you know, he would listen to me, so I can't sell it to him because I'm helping him do an avera. Now he could do it himself. So he could have bought it himself in Dominic's, so there's no lifnei iver, but there is misayeh, and that's why we don't sell broccoli. That's why we wouldn't sell fresh like that, because we're helping a person do an avera, even though he has a different way of possibly doing it. Okay, what about another example? Yes.
That's your example?
Yes.
So let's say you had a dinner. We put out washing stations. And I'm telling you, 99.9% will not wash. But maybe if I sat down with them and explained them the halacha, they would wash. Okay. So maybe I shouldn't go ahead and serve bread at a party, because I'm being nitshal.
You're being machshon.
Well,
I'm being machshon.
An adjective, yeah, go on. Okay. That they're going to be eating without washing or making a bracha.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you to hold that for a second.
Yeah, but it could be at a different time. In chemical malara.
No, I didn't mean that, but we'll hold a second. Okay, now, another example. Let's say I make a dairy bread mix. Okay, you're not allowed to make milk with bread. Okay, I make a dairy bread mix. Okay, we want to give hashkach on a dairy bread mix. Okay, so now, the person who buys that dairy bread mix, first of all, can make dairy bread by himself.
Right.
He's not lifnei iver. And guess what? He can even take the bread mix and make something that's not bread. Or he can make bread in a special shape. If you make dairy bread in a special shape, that's okay. You're allowed to do that.
Correct.
So it's not for sure that the person is going to do it nevera by buying it. Okay? But the misayeh is
the... Even though the yid's going to buy it.
Why? Giving hashkacha is the point is to make it available for a Jew to buy it.
Muslims.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I forgot. I'm marketing. Sorry. Okay. So then, there's potentially misayeh in that case. Okay, now, I have to tell you, hashkacha might be more complicated than what we've been talking, because when a person sees a hashkacha, when a person sees the hashkacha on the package, a lot of people just like turn off, and everything is mutter now. Once it has hashkacha...
We're not doing anything.
We're not doing anything.
We're not selling it to them.
But we're
lifting, the lifting.
No, Messiah, but the Messiah to help a person do whatever that we are doing. We're, of course, because the person would walk in the store, wouldn't see the symbol on it, wouldn't buy this package, because I have...
Mary in there in hell. Okay. I open the door in the supermarket, open the door for a person, that's also Messiah.
I'm coming, that point, I'll come to in 1 second. You have a good point. I didn't think of it in that angle. I'm actually about to say that. I wasn't thinking of it in connection to Hashkacha. You're saying Hashkacha is indirect. Okay, I'm not convinced it's so indirect. What I want to come to is, there's two other potential kulas about when you don't even have Messiah. Okay, when you don't have Messiah, and I want to use an example we just recently heard, we just talked about, that'll help us understand these two kulas, which is, if the case of a caterer who has a kosher and a non-kosher business. Now, when you have a caterer who has two separate businesses, that's not the same building. There's two issues with a caterer who has two businesses. One issue is, how do we make sure that he doesn't take stuff from the treif side and bring it to the kosher side? Okay, how do you make sure his kosher is really kosher? Put that shiloh on the side. We're not talking about that shiloh. But there's another shiloh, which is, what happens is that invariably, if there's a person who has two businesses, he is connected to both businesses. People have 1,000 ways how they conjecture in their mind that the treif food is really kosher. They come to an event, there's a lot of Jewish people standing around, they see the caterer, you know, draining around the building, they see his name, and somehow they assume that this must be a kosher event.
A kosher fest.
What? Kosher fest, they see, it's a kosher fest. They have this impression that it's a kosher, that this must be the kosher event, and that caterer, I know he does kosher parties, I know he, and I see his waiters, I see his chef, so they have all kinds of conjectures, and Rabbi Eisenbach and I recently heard people telling us the most frightening and amazing stories that people had of how they decided that the food was kosher, even though it was absolutely chazer treif. And people have this conjecture. So the shaila is allowed.
State that we're not in Chicago.
I didn't get there yet. Is it acceptable to give hashkacha to that person when you know that by giving him hashkacha you are setting up a situation where there are people who will end up eating treif because of that. People will make that mistake and eat treif because of that. Okay. So if we would stop right now before I tell you these two cools, we would say is, might not be lifted either, because the people could eat treif on their own. I mean, they don't need me to eat the treif, but it would be misayeh because I'm making it available. I'm doing something that makes it available.
It doesn't really make it available.
That leads people. The Rush says. The Rush says.
Sure.
Misayeh is because I have to be looking out for your interests. Of course, I shouldn't help you do the
avail. But how far does that go?
Very good. So the first cool is, Rav Moshe says like this. This is Rav Moshe says, and this is what David was hinting at also, that Misayeh only applies when I do something that directly would help the person do the Isser. I sell him a piece of broccoli, and he might take it and take a bite at it. That's what you do with broccoli. I hand it to you, you take it home, and you eat it. Okay, I sell you livers, and you go home, you cook, you cook them, and you eat them. Okay, but if the person does something indirectly, and one of Ramosha's examples is you sell them pots, okay, and you can do anything you want to with pots. I mean, obviously, you cook with pots. Even though I know good and well that some of the things you're going to cook in the pots are going to be treif, which is, I know good and well that this person will cook treif in the pot, but my action is is indirectly connected to what he's trying to do, and therefore, Rav Moshe says, there's no misayeh in that case. Okay? So, in our case, it's much better than the pots. In our case, I'm giving hashkacha for the kosher caterer. I'm doing something that's obviously beneficial. I'm helping the kosher side be kosher. The fact that somebody might pick up from that the treif side is kosher and make a mistake, that surely seems to qualify for this thing as a not messiah because it's very indirect. Okay, we have to just balance that. I'm not saying too long. We have to just balance that who's the person giving the hashkacha? It's the usually the rabbi in the community who's giving the hashkacha, and the rabbi might himself feel a higher calling that he has to look out for everyone's best interest, and that he, in looking out for people's best interest, even if technically it's not messiah, he might feel that it's not appropriate for him to do something that Lamais is at the end of the year, he knows there's going to be 10 people eating treif because of it. Okay? So that's maybe a thought of that. But there's a second call that Rav Moshe also says in the same tshuva, but it's also in and Rosh Shlomo Zalman says this in a different context, but and others say the same thing, which is like this. This din of misayeh is, don't do things that help people do averus. Okay? When that isser, a person is entitled to make a judgment, an honest judgment, as to which of their actions cause more shmiras hametzos than the others. That is to say.
Sounds like a curative.
It's very negated to people who aren't Kiev. They're very much negated to the Shiloh, people who aren't Kiev. When a person, if I stand there, listen to Hermosh's case. The people, the guy was a kosher caterer, and people wanted to make a wedding, and there was going to be mixed dancing.
Oh, that
one. Hermosh said, they're going to mixed dancing. The guy says, I don't want to help them do the avera of having mixed dancing. Having mixed dancing. So Hermosh says, let's think about it. It's not in the favor, because they can go anyplace else to do this. So it's a question of Messiah. So if you cater the event, they will have mixed dancing and eat kosher food. If you don't cater the event, you think they're not going to get married? Of course they're going to get married. They're going to go down the block, and they're going to have mixed dancing and trade food. So
they're going to get another kosher caterer and be a hefsim mamish.
No, that's not what he says. He says if they come to you, there'll be mixed dancing and kosher food. If they go down the block, there'll be mixed dancing and trade food. So which one of these options is going to lead to more averus than the other? You're trying to prevent people from doing averus. So having it kosher food with mixed dancing is going to have less averus than kosher food, than trade food and mixed dancing. So Rosh says, so in Misayeh, you're allowed to weigh these choices and decide what to do. In Rosh Hashanah's case, it's like your case, which is that there's an issur to feed food to a person, give food to a person who won't make a bracha. In Rosh Hashanah's case, it was a whole story. They had a presentation, some kind of a thing at his yeshiva in Kol Torah, and there were a bunch of benefactors who had come there, and it was a boiling hot day, and they were sweltering hot, and it was like after hours of sitting out there, they wanted to give these people a drink, or sometimes gave them a drink, knowing good and well that these people who were not going to make it off. They said, how can you do it? They said, you're not going to give it to them. So he describes the repercussions of his not being menschlich and giving them a drink, and he says, if we weigh in Misayeh, you were allowed to weigh the benefit versus the loss. So even though I helped them do the, so to speak, smaller avera, not making the bracha, weighed against the larger bear that would have come out of it, I'm allowed to decide that you're allowed, that I could give him, sort of help him do this avera because I'm preventing other averas. Because the whole idea here is to minimize averas. That's the point. I'm supposed to help you do less averas. So back to our caterer. No, I said before it gets again. I had said, of course, a person has to make a real honest decision. A thought about this is that, am I doing that, or am I just trying to take the easy way out? Am I really making a cheshbon? And in Kiruv, it's very much a question. Is I'm going to have someone do something that he'll do averus, but in the long term, or even in the short term, there's some kind of a benefit. Okay. Now, back to our caterer. Where's the situation where we have a caterer, we have this caterer with kosher or non-kosher business? In cities with big Jewish communities, in Chicago, we would never dream of doing that. We say we have plenty of kosher caterers who are all kosher, we wouldn't dream of doing this. Okay? This shaila is negeir to places that have, they can't support a kosher caterer. There's not enough business to support one. So what do they do? The trade caterer says, you know, I'll open up a kosher division to service these people. So what's going to happen? If we don't give hashkafa to this person, what's going to happen? There are certain people who just won't have weddings here. They'll go elsewhere. Okay, but there are plenty of people who are not as committed, and those people will go ahead and make their events treif. Okay, what's going to happen? What are they going to do? They're going to make a treif event. There's going to be lots of Jewish people.
Very good point.
Who will end up eating treif. So when we're weighing our decision, when we're weighing the decision, we have like this. If we give hashkafa, 10 people a year will make a mistake and eat at a treif event. If we don't give hashgacha, 200 people will eat treif during the year because of our decision. So in Misayeh, it's not with favor, it's Misayeh. In weighing Misayeh, we're allowed to weigh the how much total, so to speak, averus are going to be, 10 people eating treif versus 200 people eating treif, we're allowed to make that decision. Okay? Now, however, in this case, it's not, as, even though I'm telling you that it seems like you'd be allowed to make that decision, but there's two reasons that are very similar to say that this might not be true. First of all, the Shach says that Misayeh doesn't apply to a mumer or a person who doesn't care about doing Yisurim and will do them anyhow. Okay? So in this case, who are the 200 people who I'm saving from eating treif? Those are people who basically don't care very much. Yeah, these are people who, if a person who would eat at a treif wedding, would eat at a treif wedding if there wasn't kosher available, is a person who doesn't care so much. I didn't say he doesn't care anything, but he has doesn't have such a strong commitment to it.
Is that called a mummer, or would that be called more a person? If he's got kosher available, he definitely will buy kosher. He's not going to go...
I did say it's a mummer, but the Dagon Revolver says, if I would sit down with the person and say to him, the food you're eating is treif, would he eat it?
Uh-huh.
And he would. I'm telling you, he's sitting at a wedding eating treif food.
Uh-huh.
He's not you. If you were invited,
you like
you're
just going to
go. He's the guy who would eat it. So if that person, for that doesn't count, is it right to say his... Averis, I'm weighing against the other guy's Averis. His guy sort of doesn't count for Misayet.
Okay.
Secondly, maybe more importantly, is the cases of Ramoshan from Zalman, it's supposed to be vague about it, all these cases are where, let's take the case of the mixed dancing. At this wedding, the choice is either the person will have mixed dancing with kosher food, or will have mixed dancing with trade food. Okay? It's the same person who will weigh how many Averis he's going to do. But in our case of a caterer, it's not the same person.
So
the 10 people who will eat treif, who will mistakenly eat treif, might be 10 very committed people who would never come to eating at a treif event if we let it go on.
So maybe so make it worse for them.
So for that person, we make it worse. Are we allowed to make a cheshbon not for you individually? Ramesh says, I can give you this person a cup of water, because for him, he'll end up doing less averis if he doesn't make a bracha today. In this case, I'm saying you're eating treif is, I'm letting you eat treif because, so that those people
who don't care about,
forget about that, they don't care, that those people won't eat treif. So, am I entitled to make that cheshbon? So, even though we're seeing that in say I'm allowed to make a cheshbon, we haven't yet seen that I'm allowed to make a cheshbon.
Don't make a cheshbon on my cheshbon.
You eat treif so that I can save you. Okay.
Right. Don't make a cheshbon on my cheshbon.
I have to just say, okay, even though I'm saying that, the other side to this other side is that there isn't a person in front of us. There isn't a guy in front of us. I'm saying, Chaim, you eat treif, so Shmerel, you'll eat kosher.
Right. No.
You're looking at the big picture. You say, in my community, if I give the hashgacha, 200 people won't eat treif. If I don't give the hashgacha, then 10 people will eat treif. Won't eat treif.
But even
I'm saying, those people are not...
Oh, for sure, it might happen.
It might happen
there. If you do it like you said, it might happen. But you know for sure, these 200 people will eat treif. Okay. Like you said,
so
you have to do shikol hadas.
In this, so I'm bringing up the point that we see in a number of these achronim, that in Misayet there is room, so to speak, to make cheshbonos. Not with the iver, but in Messiah, there's room to say, if it's not with the iver, then there's room to say, I can weigh the amount of averis being committed by my two decisions, and then help the person do one averis, because in total, I'm helping, and the net result is less averis. And obviously, there's a lot goes into such a cheshbon. A lot in this decision, there's more to this than we're talking about, so to speak, from the technical halachic side. There are bigger issues like the community, their need for a kosher caterer. Mm-hmm. There are other bigger issues that go into it, but we're hanging on the part that's, if I can remind you, negated to our din that we just talked about. Which was
pass.
A person selling something that will lead someone to do an issue. So we sort of
that's okay.
Appropriate. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, well,